Blog Talk Radio.
What you want. I love that song. I can't, my voice is totally shot from yelling today, but oh, I love it. I love
open the phone to right there. I'm sorry, everyone. I didn't mean to have her do that.
Oh, yeah, traumatizing everybody. I love Beast Boys, reminds me of when I lived in Tahoe. Welcome to My Point Radio, everybody. This is Dave and Jen.
Thank you. Thank you. Introduction stall. Now, does the connection sound better now, or?
Does what?
Does my connection sound better?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, shit. No, I can't say that, can I?
Oh, so what you want? I swear to God, when that DVD, or that tape, actually, I'll date myself that much, but when that tape came out, I was living up in Lake Tahoe, and it was summer, and we were playing that tape all day long, cruising in the Jeep, and just, endlessly. So, good memories.
Where haven't you lived?
Utah.
Oh, in Salt Lake City.
Hey, I wanted to take a really quick second, too, before. We've got two wonderful guests on tonight. We've got David L. Robbins, New York Times best-selling author.
Just ignore me. I was asking a question, but just ignore me. Go ahead, Jen.
And we also have Sean Egan of the Cold War Veterans Association blog. But
right.
I wanted to say something really quick. Everyone that donated to the Humane Society for me, supporting Jen, because I'm raising money for the Humane Society on my blog, so please stop by. Everyone that donated money, I won't name everybody's names right now because it'd be a long list. You guys are wonderful, and thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart. It's a great organization, and all of you that have donated, and those of you that can't donate, thanks for the thoughts, and thank you everyone that did,
well,
including you, Dave.
Yes, thank you. You're very welcome. And the nice part is you've got to go on a walk with the dog and prove yourself for this money, right?
Of course I do.
And then you're going to come back with pictures of this event.
Of course I will.
And maybe like a rear end shot with your dog and you walking away.
We don't want to scare everybody. Let's not do that.
I'm not even sure why I just suggested that, but just sounded good at the time.
Ew. Well, my dog's got a cute little butt.
So Wednesday, Mr. Robbins forgot to call us, and he profusely apologized, less than 24 hours later. And so he's going to hook up tonight. And what was funny is he's out possibly on the Atlantic Ocean somewhere in a sailboat. He's a big sailor. If you've been to his website, davidlrobbins.com, you can see him on his sailboat. He must do really good selling books because he has a lot of hobbies. I want to sell books. I want to sell books so I can go sailing.
I saw
the presidential candidates, or was it the Republicans or the Dems or all of them down in San Diego today?
I'm ignoring that.
Oh, why?
Because it's the Dems.
I thought I saw Tony Snow, but maybe it was a different picture at something on them. I was kind of listening to Doug's show and then watching blah, 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 blah. I was watching FN News, too, at the same time, so I might have missed that. But I saw the Dems in San Diego, and they have a reporter out by the water.
Yeah, they were all excited about it this morning. I was like, you know what? I'm going to the beach. I'm going to a street fair. I'm getting out of here. I hung out on the golf course for a few hours today just, you know, for Gunny John.
And right. He expected to call in, too, so we'll see.
But, yeah, it was too nice of a day. I thought, you know, really realistically I should go down there, see what I can see, but I just, you know, it's Saturday.
Right.
Everyone's got to take a break sometimes, don't
they?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's kind of, I mean, is it just me, or is this like the first time that they've ever held debates this early?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that at some point, because I think that debate the other night was funny, but I think our guest is on the line here, and I'll get to him in just a second, but I just want to make a mention of that debate the other night in South Carolina, was it? The Dems debate? Yeah, they all agree that they hate Bush, so we've got that much out of them now. I wonder if we'll get anything more before. They hate Bush, and they want to end the Iraq war now. So,
and typically it's what we already knew. It's not like they're telling us anything new, which would be nice, you know, like
right.
I said on...
Right.
I was trolling.
But we know this much now. Every one of the Democratic candidates do hate Bush, and they also want to end the Iraq war now. So we've
Very
got
clear.
That much out of them. I think we can move on from there. And I wonder how long they'll keep telling us they hate Bush. But let's get to this caller here. I wonder if this is Sean here. Let me click it here. Is this Sean?
Yes, this is Sean. How you doing, Dave?
Sean, how you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Great. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. Good to hear
you. You're from New York State now. That's why you're doing the how you doing thing?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
All right.
How you doing?
Upstate New York, you know. I'm way out on the southern tier, almost
now,
in the Midwest.
Now, just on a side note from that, I talked to Kit Gerald from Euphoric Reality this afternoon, and she listened to our past episode, and she goes, well, I knew where you were from right away, and I said, oh, why? And she goes, well, you had that accent just like I grew up with, and when she grew up in northern Wisconsin, she said, so I kind of a little humor out of that.
No doubt. Well,
so how are you doing? How's everything going?
Things are going good.
Now, am I mistaken in saying that you're in Washington, D.C. right now, and you're chasing down former KGB spies that are left over from the Cold War?
Oh, I'm a definite spook, but I'm not in D.C. yet. I moved my trip back, but we have a meeting in D.C. on Tuesday.
Okay.
Where we're going to discuss some organizational business and. You know, we're going to plan for a annual memorial at Arlington Cemetery, hopefully, and we're going to lay down the foundations and the groundwork for that this year. We're going to have a small ceremony this year, but hopefully next year we're going to take it nationwide. We'd like to have ceremonies all across the country. And,
now, let's just back up for a minute, because I believe some people, including me, may not have any idea what you're talking about. So let's just kind of back up. Can you tell me, how old are you about?
I'm 37.
Oh, okay. And how did you get involved or start this? Because 37 is kind of borderline.
Oh, yeah.
For our
well,
time frame, you know, it's like I was kind of going back in my own time frame there, and I'm like borderline.
Tell ya.
I remember when I was a kid growing up, but it kind of ended, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s there, and.
Well, I'll give you a time frame. When I joined the service, I think, you know, the Berlin Wall came down when I was in. Basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was overseas in August, the Soviet Union, you know, basically disintegrated, you know, like 4 months before I got out of the service. So, I mean, and then they technically date the end of it by December of 91, I think, when they say the era ends.
Sure.
But, yeah, I definitely was at the tail end of it. I mean, we're talking a five-decade-long, you know, period of history, you know, and it really is history.
Mm-hmm.
And, your blog and your group that you're involved with is trying to get a medal, I believe, for a Cold
Well,
War.
Yeah, that is one of the things on our plate that we've been working on for the last couple of years, and it's Senate Bill 1097, and it's called the Cold War Medal Act, and we had it in Congress last year, and it made it in the House version. And it didn't make the final markup when they combined both bills from the House and the Senate. But we're hoping this year, crossing our fingers, that, you know, I think we're going to have some bipartisan support. And
I don't know why it wouldn't pass. That sounds like a reasonable.
You know where our biggest detractor is? It was in the Department of Defense. They actively lobbied against it.
Huh.
which is kind of, I found funny, you know what I mean? But,
right,
you know,
yeah,
they,
absolutely. I think it's
in a severely unfunny way.
Yeah.
Well, I can't find any reason why it wouldn't. I may be being naive, but I just can't see any reason.
Well, you know, they say it was a financial matter, you know, and one thing, and, well, then they said it was duplicate recognition.
We can find $20 million to dry peanuts in South Georgia or whatever. We can find a few dollars for our metal.
You know, it's not even that. I don't know if either of you have heard, but lately there's been little rumblings of people comparing the current, quote, war on terror or whatever the PC word for it is now, comparing the war on terror to the Cold War. I've been
exactly.
hearing that mentioned a lot.
Exactly. And we've tried to put that out there, and it's like, you know, when we've, I know personally, when I've written letters to my representatives, you know, speech after speech after speech from, you know, from Dick Cheney, you know, the president, we've had several generals, you know, George Bush at West Point's commencement speech last year. A big section of it was comparing the global war on terror to the
Cold War.
You know, because you can draw the similarities is that, you know, it's an ideology that you're going, that, you know, we're fighting, and it's going to definitely be a long, long struggle, you know.
Apparently, though, the House Democrats don't realize that and are trying to cut it short. But.
Well, hey, you know, with you guys, as far as that goes, I agree. My personal take on the whole thing is, if we're going to be over there, I would like to see, you know, why not 300,000 to 500,000 troops, and let's just do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean...
Well, I agree.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you don't want to use this, the expression, you know, or get off the pot, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you're either going to do it, or why are we there? These guys are just getting picked off for no reason. You know?
I fully agree with you, and I wonder where the breakdown was. I mean, I think
that's, and we've said this before, Jen, you and I have both agreed on this, which is that's why the American public is so fed up, but because there is no progress, and we're not seem to be taking an active role in defeating it, so we're kind of in this standoff with these bad guys, and the American people don't like standoffs. They like victories, and they like them clear-cut, and it be over.
Yeah.
And I think knowing the American people and the American soldiers, we can defeat this. But we can't do it with this lack of better words, we can't do it for these half-assed measures that we're pulling right now. And and some people like MD, conservative, that is on the line right now, he might, you know, and what we talked about Wednesday, Jen, he might disagree with that a little bit. They are doing things, but I just think that it's a stalemate right now. And
anytime they are doing anything that's positive does not get reported on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And so the American people, you know, what was that, the comparison? There were a microwave, you know, country where everyone, you know, puts something in and wants it done in 30 seconds. And, you know, people are growing bored with it. I mean, I don't know if that's
You're very right, Jen. We are a microwave country, and we want it done right away. But we also have the ability to have this done faster.
Well, I don't – but the thing is, I don't really think that this could – I mean, maybe this particular conflict could be, quote, done. I don't think it'll ever be done. I think this is going to be an ongoing war across the world. I mean, there's Muslim extremists in every country, including this one. And, you know, I don't think it's something that's going to be solved. Just, I mean, we could go into Iraq with a million soldiers, go in there, level the whole country, and – like Doc Blogstein said, they're going to come back in. It's a cockroach hotel. Iran's just going to move in there, and another country's going to move in there, and something else. It's just, I don't know if it's ever going to end. If there's, I mean, we could pull out of Iraq tomorrow, and I don't think it's going to end. And it's certainly, you know, 9/11, I don't think it's the last time we're going to see something here. And it's unfortunate. I don't really know what the answer is. It's frustrating, but I don't think that there's ever going to be an end to this, literally, until you almost round up every single, you know, Islamic extremist and get rid of them.
Hey, Sean, one of my listeners is asking for that bill number again. They want to look it up while they're
Oh,
listening.
Great. It's you can find it on Thomas, and it's Senate Bill 1097.
1097.
Yes. Cold War Medal Act.
And what's the name of your blog? Give you the URL for your blog. People might want to look at that while we're sitting here, too.
Yeah, it's cold-war-veterans.com, I believe.
Okay.
I don't even look at my own URL.
That's bad.
Terrible, isn't it?
The links are up on mypointradio.com and also on screwliberals.com, too. The links are at the top of each of our pages, so you can find them there, too.
Yeah, or Google. It'll be there.
Yeah, I did Google, and it was there, too. Top of the page. As soon as I put in Cold War Veterans blog, it was right there.
Yeah.
There we go. What were your, you were headed to D.C., but you postponed it, and you were going to...
Well, I'm just delaying. I was going to go down there a day or two early, but
okay.
I'm just going to end up going... I think I'm leaving Monday. I'm going to drive down and, you know, fly back, drive fast back Wednesday. But, yeah, I'm going to make a quick trip down there. I'm really looking forward to it, and get to network you know, some of our other regional people, and we're going to hopefully get working on this memorial. And, you know, it's just about recognizing, you know, some of the veterans of this era, because I think a lot of them sit out there, and I think they feel a little bit like second-class citizens, you know. I mean, where they served in a period of time where, you know, they just feel like they never were recognized for, you know, the years they did in Europe. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifices were made, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that were done back in the, you know, say the 70s and 80s and things like that during the, you know, I guess even the 60s, kind of at the height of the Cold War. What were some of those things that people were doing?
Well, you know, I mean, just the number of troops that we had in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the Fold the Gap. And, I mean, we were there, you know, to defend Western Europe. I mean, we were all that stood between them and, you know, thousands of Soviet tanks, you know what
right.
I mean? And the deterrent of us being there and not just being there, but being ready to fight, you know, and not only there, in Korea, the DMZ, you know, I mean, there was, you know, it was on many fronts. And then, you know, the all seven seas, you look, I mean, Strategic Air Command constantly had bombers in the air. It was a global effort, and it was, you know, we just lived with it for so long, I think we took it for granted, you know.
It was a very intense time. I mean, I don't, you know, people were ducking, covering, practicing how to get under their desks. I mean, every night there was reports on the news that, you know, we could get nuked, and, you know, it was a very tense time, and I would imagine someone serving that time was under a lot of pressure.
And it's funny, like, you look back on it today, and, you know, and you almost pine for the days of the Cold War. It's like, where it was, I mean, it was a tense time, but yet, I mean, we look at our problems today, and it's like...
Well, and I think we were talking about this, too, a little bit the other day, too, Jen, when I said, I do miss the Cold War, the fact that I don't think the Soviets were crazy enough, like the Muzzies of today, to actually do it. You know,
totally.
To actually pull the trigger, where this is where the scary part with these Muzzies are, is that they're not afraid to die, and they will take everyone that they can with us. And that's why we need to be so careful of
yeah.
nuclear programs over in the Middle East and,
yeah,
and
definitely.
Who has their hands on them. And it's a really great comparison, because I was thinking, well, maybe we should get thinking about your blog today when I was reading a little bit, maybe we should just give all the Muzzies nuclear bombs and then think maybe they won't bomb us, but that's ridiculous, too. You know, because we had a mutually assured, you know, deterrent with the Soviets, and it seemed to work pretty well. But the Muzzies don't really care about that. They're more interested in, you know, getting the virgins and moving on.
You know, I had a blog about where I mentioned the same thing not too long ago, and we had a doctrine called MAD,
mm-hmm.
Mutually Assured Destruction,
yeah.
And the problem with Mutually Assured Destruction is if you have a group of people who do not respect or value life as you
yeah.
do, then there is no deterrent.
Right.
So,
right.
So,
and I think for the love of the Soviets at the time, at least they were fearful of dying where they're not today. The Muzzies are not fearful.
Oh, no. And it's
America has a great respect for life and you know, even before the Soviets turned commies, they had a, you know, and they did during the time of being taken over, you know, by communism, but they have respect for life.
Mm-hmm.
And Europe did too, and this is one of the things, you know, as a comparison that Americans do not understand at all about the war and terror that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And you know, I lived in a Muslim country for a year and a half. You know, when I was in the service for 2 years, and I spent almost all that time in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, let's face it, the Muslim people. You know, we can sit here. People are people. When you meet them face to face, there's there's good Muslims and good, decent people, and they're not crazy. And then there are, you know, and then there's people that are nuts. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's, but when you can't separate it, because there's no control over there. There's no government. I mean, when the religion and the dogma of that religion is just controlling everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no, the only way we're going to really stop that ideology, I mean, I hate to say it, but it, you know,
well, I know.
It's destroy it, or, you know, how long are you willing to try to contain it? You know,
that's where we go back to is I don't think America, obviously I don't think America has the patience for it on either side of the party you're on. And that's why Bush has 30% approval numbers, is because he's dicking around with it.
The problem that you need to think about, though, what you were just saying, Sean, is that I was just reading some poll numbers the other day, and I think IndiaNet, I try to read foreign newspapers to get really what they're saying over there, and one of the polls, it was something like 91% of, like, say, Egyptians, it was Egyptians, 91% of Egyptians polled said that they were fine with the ideology of Al-Qaeda and were fine with attacking Americans and American soldiers. 91%. We're not talking like a small fraction of the society there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking
entire. MD brings up a good point, saying you don't see Islamic fanatics building subways under their capitals to serve as bomb shelters. You know, much as the Soviets did. You know, they respected their lives that much, at least that they were, you know, putting bomb shelters in to run and hide if we did attack.
Because they don't care. I get what Sean is saying. We've had a couple Muslims on our show. We had Hanea on. She's a Shia Muslim. She wasn't really into politics much, but her friend that called in was. And, you know, I'm sure she's goes to one of the most respected colleges in this country. She's a well-educated young lady. She was a very nice young lady, and I don't see her strapping a bomb on herself and blowing anybody up. But the problem with the Muslim religion, which we're trying to get out of her and why, is there's such a silence on, you know, America as a community after the Virginia Tech shootings. Everyone was coming out and was outraged about guns and outrage, you know, anger and, you know, mad and sad. And, you know, there's outrage. When the bomber, the Oklahoma City bombing went off, you know, people were outraged and, you know, crazy mad. Over there, every time there's a bombing, you see people celebrating in the streets. After 9/11, they were throwing candy in the air and going, yay, 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 and, you know, throwing a party over death of thousands of people. So
I'll tell you, I think the one thing I think we can all agree upon is, you know, as far as our government goes, is I don't think anybody really appreciates, you know, them having a debate and making a debate about the war that is never going to be executed right now. Is it good for us? I really don't think it's good for us at this time. I think they should just, hey, the president's got the wheel, and whether they like it or not, let's I hate to say it, be good soldiers, and, you know, let's try to work through it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see that happening.
No, it's not going to happen.
Because the entire platform of the Democratic Party right now is I hate Bush. I mean, that is their platform. I don't see that they have any other platform at all that they're running on. So if they did, I mean, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I think both sides, you know, I'd just like to see a politician who's putting America first, not his career or not his, you know, his party line always, when, you know, you got to do what's right for the country first, you know, and I think if more of them did that, we'd have real leadership, which right now I don't know sometimes.
Now, who's your front runner for both?
Democrats?
Democrat?
Well, for who's going to come out of the Democratic pack?
Who do you think?
I think it's way too early to tell. I mean,
if the primary is being held tomorrow and you had to pick one of the Democratic hopefuls to vote for president, who would you go for?
I hate to say it. I'm going to get stoned before I leave the show. But who do I think is going to win? I think Hillary's money, mm-hmm. and I think the president, the former president, is an awful formidable guy when you're talking about raising money and you're talking about just
But do we need him as the first lady?
Yeah, well, it might be entertaining. Come on, you guys would have blogs for another 8 years, you know what I mean? You know how much material that'll be?
Absolutely.
You know, once I'd finally actually say, it's like when Rosie left, I was like, you know what, that's material I won't miss.
I agree with you there. I mean, that's just, anybody, you know, I'm not sure, I don't read her blog or I don't watch The View. You know, but I get all this bombardment in the media whenever she says something, you know. But
you had your detractors during the Cold War, too. You know, when Reagan, when he heightened to end it, you know, that was his goal of his presidency. You know, he had a vision to end it, and he started trying to implement it. And they called him crazy when he brought up Star Wars, you know. And look at it now. You know, it's going to be a reality, it is a reality already. You know, they have the technology to do it. And he was called, you know, the Democratic detractors at the time, oh, it'll cost too much money and it's not feasible. He's crazy. He must be talking to people that, you know, he must be, you know, seeing things in his sleep or something. And all these crazy things they talked about.
Oh, definitely.
And the idea that he could defeat them, you know, economically and put so much pressure militarily on them without pulling a single trigger. And defeating him that way, they thought he was literally insane, and look what he did, you know, because he left.
You know, and remember the Star Wars initiative, that alone, when that came out and he spoke about the Star Wars initiative, even if we weren't able, which we weren't able to ever really build, the idea that all those dollars were going into technology, to research, the Soviets knew they could not keep up at that
point. No, it drove them crazy, and it drove them to bankruptcy as a you know, entity.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
We need a Reagan so bad.
Well, we do need a Reagan, and you know, I don't know where that person is right now, but
I miss him.
Well, and one of the funniest things he ever did is when that speaker, you know, that microphone was on beforehand, and he, you know, we're gonna bomb you in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I know, that was classic.
Whatever he said there, that was one of the funniest things in the history. You know,
they believed him. He scared the Soviet Union. You know.
Oh yeah, they had their, didn't they start to put their triggers open?
Yeah, they believed him.
That was the great thing about Reagan was that he was so personable. You know, with the jelly beans on his jelly bellies on his desk, and he was such a. God, he just had that aura, you know. He was just a fun guy too, you know, but he was also serious, and he was just such a good guy. We don't have anyone
I think Ronald Reagan made people feel good about the country and themselves, and he was a fatherly figure, and he was very something that reassured people about him, and that's what made him such a great leader, I think, you know. Mm-hmm.
Which is what we need now, and unfortunately... You
know, I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. Let's just...
No, I really don't care either, but the way the Democrats behave, I just can't see them having anyone, you know, their rhetoric is so off base, I just can't see it coming.
Maybe, I hate to even say that word, but maybe it'll be a third... Maybe it'll be an independent. Maybe it'll be someone like that.
Right.
I don't care if it's an alien from that new planet they just discovered, whatever they call that thing. I mean, just, if it's someone that... has our best interests at heart, and, you know, I mean, obviously, I've got a blog called, you know, screwliberals.com, so we know where I stand on it, but, you know, I can do that as a citizen and do that, but I want a president that is bipartisan and that can bring people more together. I mean, it's so bad right now. The hatred on both sides, back and forth, is so bad, and you know, we're paying these people. I mean, they're supposed to be doing a job for us as American citizens. We vote them in to do a job as a republic that we live in, and they're not.
And the Democrats went so far as look what they did to Lieberman last year in Connecticut when they hung him out to dry.
Yeah.
A member of their own party, and they put a candidate up against him and funneled all the money to him, and you know, and yet he still won. And that's what they do to the candidates that don't necessarily. Agree with, where I think you see a wider spectrum in the Republican Party of a lot of different views. I mean, you can look at, you know, Giuliani and you know, McCain and even Romney. You know, they're all kind of different
different, you know, ways. And yet the Democrats, they have one mantra, you know, it takes Bush and end the war, there is no terror, and we will not bomb if they blow us up again, you know.
Dave, do you have an alternate phone you may be able to use?
Well, I can't switch phones if it's that bad.
It's pretty bad. Is it bad for you, Sean, or is
yeah,
it...
it's breaking up a little bit. I thought it might have been just me.
No, no, you're clear as a bell.
Am I coming in all right? Well, hey, guys, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got other guests, but I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight. And again, give your URL out again. It's cold.
It's Cold War Veterans at blogspot.com.
And yay.
It's the Cold War Veterans blog. I'm going to give you all the proper one. I'm looking at it right now on my bar.
Okay, Google it.
cold-war-veterans-blog.blogspot.com. It's a mouthful, but it's
everybody go there. It's a great blog. I've stopped by many times over the year, or for a while now at least. And Sean, thank you so much for calling in tonight.
Hey, good luck, guys. And
thanks, Sean.
I hope you didn't mind talking to a registered Democrat for a half an hour. But
hey, no, that's
not,
fine.
Not at all. Not
hey,
at all.
Have a good night, and I'm going to listen to your. I'm really looking forward to your next guest. All right.
Okay. Thank you for, and I'll remind him too. Thank you for putting that his books up on your blog too. I appreciate.
Oh,
that.
For sure, no
yeah,
problem. I'll be listening.
Good man, Sean.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Now, does that sound any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Interesting.
That was great having Sean call. He's a nice guy. Now,
if I would have known he was a registered Democrat, I would have hung up on him. But
see, that's the problem. Is Sean is. One of those more relatively common sense thinkers.
Right. And I was just kidding. I was not going to hang up on him.
Yeah, right.
Actually, what he does is pretty interesting. And it's an interesting.
Did you not know he was a Democrat?
I had no idea what he was. I just liked his blog. I've seen his blog many times, and I think it's interesting because it's not a topic that's even brought up anymore.
No, it really isn't. But he. The thing I've always liked about Sean is he's just really even keel. He's really, you know, straight up, and he tells it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not. He's one of those Democrats you can tolerate. You know,
versus someone else who's been on this show that.
Yeah.
Know, yeah.
Well, he's not a libtard.
He's not a libtard.
You know, I mean, there's a registered Democrat like Sean who was on our show for almost half hour, who's a common sense thinker, who's a nice guy, who's doing something good for the Cold War vets, you know, great guy, straight up, and then there's libtards.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. It's a huge difference.
Now, the next question is, do I need to call Mr. Robbins and remind him to call into our show? He did give me a phone number to do that.
And that would be David L. Robbins.
David L. Robbins, who is out on the Atlantic probably sailing and has no reason why he'd want to call in if you're out on a sailboat. Why would you want
he's
to call
probably
in?
Liquored up in mojitos.
Why would you want to call into a stupid radio show on a Saturday night when you're out on the Atlantic Ocean sailing in a sailboat?
Do you want me to list the reasons why I wouldn't?
Exactly.
Let's see. I would have had way too many mojitos.
If he does turn us down, he can't come back on again.
I'd be probably fishing. That is check.
Or like Doug's saying, too. Doug, you know, he's just saying that Sean is kind of a Lieberman Democrat. And he is because, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating to see the level of their competency right now and the leadership and the way that they're composing
see, the
themselves,
thing, this,
I guess.
This kind of brings up something funny when you say a Lieberman Democrat. There's libtards, which seems to be about, like, 95% of that side of the left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, they're all, I mean, especially the ones that are start like grabbing onto the truther movement, you know, and I'm doing the air quotes. I don't know if you can see that through the phone, but I'm doing like air quotes around truther.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Okay, truther.
People can
movement. But
I could turn on, for all the Yahoo users, I could turn on the My Point Radio.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. With a phone up to my ear. And here, wait a minute. Here, I can do this. Oh, that's a bad piece of... Right here in my formerly nicotine-stained hands. Oh, this is a bill. I can't do that. Got to be careful with that bill. I'll put that back down now.
Calm down, Dave. Calm down. Okay. But what I was saying is that there's, you know, like 95% of them are just crazy freaking libtards. I mean, you see them, their blogs, and they'll shut you up. And I mean, like a certain troll commenter on my blog, I let that person comment on my blog for almost a year to the point where I finally said, you know, piss off. I went and commented twice on two large liberal blogs the other day, made one comment on each one, and was deleted and banned within 30 seconds. And neither one of my comments had cuss words in it. Neither of them were out of control. Neither of them were crazy. They were just a Republican slant, and I was immediately deleted and banned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, as you know from my blog, I pretty much let everybody, I mean, I banned that Tyree guy and one other person, and Tyree because he put something like 300 comments on my blog in like one day.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's two people in all the years I've been blogging that I've banned. So, and that had to be done. Other than that, I don't mind hearing another viewpoint. Plus, it's kind of fun to rip on them. But right now, what I was saying with the Lieberman-Democrat thing is the left is so far left. Then you have the Republican Party, where most of us, I mean, are, you know, here's center, and we're a little right to it, and some are a little bit more right, and the extreme far right is very small. The nut job far right, you know, crazies, are very small, and they're not that loud. I mean,
they're calling
really
you
aren't.
A troll for writing on those blogs right now.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Your yeah. listeners are calling you a troll, Jen.
Bitches. I will bitch slap all of you unless you donated money. But that is, no, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll admit it. I mean, I there's several, and I won't give them out because you guys will all go there, but there's several liberal blogs I comment on, and I always try to maintain, I know I don't go on there and go, you know, F you, libtard effers, you know, I go in there and I just put in, you know, facts, reality. And every once in a while, I'll get one of them from those websites will email me saying, oh, you made a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I'm doing my job. I'm doing my job, you know.
No, I know
going there.
I know this isn't David, but let's click on this caller here.
Hello. Welcome to My Point Radio.
Hey, it's Daryl. How are you all today?
Daryl.
Hey.
Daryl. Daryl.
Hey, I have a question.
We're getting canned by our guest twice in a row now.
Oh, that's right, because last week you ran into the same problem?
Yeah, now he emailed me back. I said, oh, I'm sorry. And now
he was begging to be let back on our show.
He was pretty much begging to be back on, wasn't
wow.
he?
He actually used the word begging.
Well, I don't know. I might be a little bit happy because I'm just too jealous of the quality when you all do that three-way call.
Yeah.
I cannot duplicate that at all. I've tried on several phones. I've tried on several lines. It just doesn't work for me, and it drives me insane.
Well,
and I guess I should be happy that you all can do it, but I swear I'm jealous.
That's just part of my phones package up here. It's nothing I'm doing special.
They actually asked me to ask you what kind of phone you use because, I mean, I'm saying to myself, though, that doesn't even make any sense. It's the connection.
Wow.
It wouldn't matter what phone because it's a whole set of other circumstances to go in when you're doing three-way, I thought.
All I do is hit flash, dial the number, flash
three-way.
Back in.
It doesn't matter. I've tried it on a bunch of different phones. It doesn't work with me.
It's just part of my Quest phone package up here in the hinterlands of
well, they're great.
Minnesota up here.
I need to move.
You're not too far. I mean, you're not that far away. I could be down there in a few hours and show you if you need me to.
Yeah, if you could come fix my phone, that would really appreciate it.
You got the flash button and everything?
I've tried on different phones.
$300 a month phone bill.
I've tried it. Like at least, I'm not joking or exaggerating, at least 50 different times in different ways using different systems. It just is not going to work for me ever. I've determined that for some reason, and it drives me nuts.
Well, what is the excuse for the people not being able to call in on their own? That's the thing. I
well,
you have to do three-way on it.
Well, see, the problem is I've had a couple of guests that were so popular that people started calling before the show started,
right?
And my guest almost didn't get in.
Yeah.
You're like, they didn't get into the top five.
Right.
Or almost did. Well, one of them didn't. I have to start hanging up on people to be able to get their call up just to be able to take it. And
right.
I don't want to ask them to call in 20 minutes before the show starts and just listen to their air. That's not, like, the more popular they are, the more less likely that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Good point.
And what we ran into with that, Jen, too, you remember, is the guy, the agent, wouldn't let his people call in. We had to call them.
That was
the setup we had with this guy, and that's the only way he would let his people be on the air. So
they don't have free phone, free calling.
I swear that part I've never been able to quite understand. But
right.
There are people out there who are restricted.
Yeah, this guy was an agent. I don't think he was a really nice guy, but I don't, for some reason, every single one of the guests that he, you know, cop for us, or you know, that, you know, we called him and said, you know, hey, can this person come in, or we emailed him, and he'd be like, yeah, but you got to call him. And Dave's the one that does three-way. I don't get phones. The only thing I can do is dial and put talk, and that's it. So thank goodness we have Dave.
Can I ask you a question, Jen? I called in because of something you were just saying.
I'm in trouble now.
You were saying that one of the reasons why you like to let everybody, you know, post on your blog is kind of like to see where they're at. I mean, I know that there was a bit of sarcasm going on there, but just if they are in indifference with you, it's fun to rip on them. To me, I see both sides of a political aisle. I see them almost pretending to, like, want to talk to one another, but it's like when two people are talking, and I try my best never to do this, but when somebody's talking to me, I really am trying to listen to what they're saying and dissect what they're saying, but I find that most people, when you talk to them, they're watching every word that you're saying for two reasons. First, to be able to find something in what you're saying that's wrong, or secondly, they're like showing you a little bit of respect so that you could finish talking, so that they could make the point that they've already predetermined in their mind. And this is what I just see out of politics on either side, and I'm wondering whether or not you agree with that.
Well, I'm sorry, Daryl, did you just say something? No.
Yeah, you're so funny.
She is funny.
To be honest, I do like Hattie, and there's sometimes where I have, you know, some regular trolls and some that others that make good points. And so, no, if you're asking, do I really listen to what they're saying, is that what you're asking? Or
I think you do, because we talk. I guess I'm asking you just a more general question. When people are having political discussions, do you think that people are listening to one another in a general sense?
In a general sense, I would say probably like 70-30. 70% of the time, no, because basically if you're from a certain party, you think a certain way, and you are a certain person, and you have certain beliefs and certain followings and certain things that no matter how much you want to get along, you're never going to agree with the other side. The 30%, there are some things you can budge on. There's things you can go, well, you know, you have a really good point right there, you know, maybe that's true, and maybe we could work together on that. And, you know, I don't want to get all touchy-feely here, but, you know, yeah, so I think there is some time that there is some space where people can, you know, flex and bend. And
well, I take this as an example, and it comes up with a conversation that I had with Kit Gerald this afternoon. And we're talking about last Saturday's show with Atlas, and we all heard Atlas. She, love her or hate her, she kind of she dominated the whole show, and she kind of took over. And all I was able to really do is kind of lead her into the next topic, and Jen kind of sat there in the background and hemmed and hawed and wasn't able to get much towards Jen Edgewise. And
damn it.
And what these people do is they. You know, when they dominate like that, it gets to be annoying. I don't think people want to put up with that for very long. And it's like, you know, at the end of the show, I was exhausted just from listening to her.
I was exhausted for listening, too.
I took a nap.
And I didn't even call.
And so,
I took a nap.
when you say that, Daryl, it's, you know, I could be a hardline conservative. I could play the party line and do the talking words and do the Rush Limbaugh act and the Sean Hannity, but I'm not like that. And Jen and I have talked about this a little bit. We're just not like that. We're both, you know, we're conservatives, but at the same time, we're not these staunch conservatives that can't see other ideas. And I try really hard not to. You know, when it gets to be, you know, stupid stuff, then it's ridiculous, and you just kind of have to shove it aside. But we've had plenty of opposing views on this show, and some of it you just have to sit back and
just because I don't agree with something. So, I mean, I'm obviously not a registered Democrat. We just had one on. We didn't need to rip on him. He's a nice guy, and we like him. Just because he's of a different party, I don't care. He's doing something good for Cold War veterans.
Well,
I want on my show. I want him to talk about that, you know. And it's unfortunate there's not more of that. There's so much hatred, and there's so much. It's so polarized right now. It's, you know, either.
There you said the key word. We're so polarized. You know, it's a 45-45 split, and there's 10% in the middle, and I don't know where I am, but.
Yeah, you guys are the exception as far as that's concerned, and I don't mean the exception on the side of conservatives. I just mean the exception in political talk, period. I don't care which whether you are a Republican, Democrat, or independent. For the most part, when I hear people discussing things with guests, they literally are not even attempting to have a real rational discussion. So politically in general, you guys are the exception to, am I, from what I've seen.
Well, when I have guests on, my goal is to let they're the guest, and I'm trying to be hospitable. Say that three times.
Hospitable.
You know,
but doesn't it get frustrating?
Ben and I can sit and talk all day about what's in the news and how we view about it, but it doesn't do that guest any good to have me dominate or Jen dominate what we've asked them to come on for.
Well, and that, and like, I don't know if it's just me, and like we were just saying about Atlas last weekend, although I agreed with a lot of what she was saying, when I'm watching, contrary to popular belief, I don't sit and watch Fox News. You know, I don't have an IV Fox News tap in my vein. You know,
well,
I
do, though. That's the funniest thing. I don't really watch any other news station.
Right. Yeah,
well, because they're probably more balanced than any of them, but, you know, that's, you know, obviously people don't believe that. But
hey, Daryl, John, can I interrupt you? Daryl, someone wants to talk to you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to click onto them here.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Doug.
Talk to me. This is amazing.
Hi, Daryl. This is Doug. I'm with Political Pistachio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I love Dave and Jen. They know
yeah, me
who
too.
I am. Oh, I'm feeling the love.
You know, something I wanted to talk about, and I've kind of discussed this with Dave before, and one of the things I like about you is you will sometimes bring up an opposing opinion, but you will word it in a way where it gets people thinking. It really makes them think about what they're going to say and what the situation is, and that's what I look for when I blog. When I was, you know, first started blogging, I was kind of naive. I thought all opposing views would be that way, where you could discuss.
Right.
You know,
someone asking a question that they really want the answer to. That's not a trick setup question.
Right.
Oh, and Daryl, you remember the very first time you called in back in late October, November, sometime you called into our show, and I don't remember what the question was, but when you hung up, Jen and I like went, whoa, that was like a really freaking good question. It's like one of the best questions we've ever had.
Well,
I don't know if you remember that, Jen, but you know that's
no,
why.
No, I do.
And that's what I think people hear from you, Daryl, and I think that's what Doug's speaking to also.
Well,
I appreciate that.
It's that Daryl's very articulate, and he's also very, you know, straight to the point. You know, he doesn't fanny around with it. You know,
I really am. It's just, it's so much. I don't really care about people agreeing with me. That's just like the least of my. I just know that when we're trying to establish something and we're trying to get understanding, we're not going to get understanding by speaking from the objective of getting our agenda passed. If I am asking a question, it's because I really want to know the answer to it, or if I'm trying to get you to understand what I'm saying, it's because I really want you to understand. There's not that hidden motive, and I think that so much gets caught up in a hidden motive with people when they talk.
What a great point.
That kind of brings up with the voters, because we were talking about on my show earlier, talking about with my wife about this, is that's kind of the way it is with voters, is what you're getting at is that you need to look at all angles. There's more. There's always more than what's on the surface. You need to look deeply, look at all the angles, look at what the future is going to be, how it's going to be affected, what's going on the surface, what's going on deeper, and so forth. And that's where it kind of gets frustrating with a lot of your voters is they see what's on the surface, they get a couple nice words said to them by a politician, they fall for it, and they vote.
Yeah.
And rather than thinking about every variable that's involved, and that's the reason why you're enjoyable to listen to, is because you think about those variables and then you apply them to a question in the way where the person really goes, whoa, yeah.
See, now the problem with the variable thing is that when you're electing someone into office and they are, you know, campaigning on a certain platform, say illegal immigration, they are, you know, want to build the wall and da da da, and you vote for them for that reason. Well, and then they don't do it. That's what's happening. And unfortunately, what you're seeing with almost all these politicians, they just kind of look at the polls. Okay, people are, you know, they want free ice cream sandwiches at lunch. That seems to be popular this week. Therefore, that's what I'm going to say I'm going to do when I become president.
Jen, are you saying that politicians lie?
Yeah, well.
I think Phil made a good point. You know, like you said, he can see through these people before they could see through themselves, and I think that was a pretty good point he made on your show tonight too, Doug. Some of these people are very transparent.
Yes. Some aren't, though. Some are really good actors, and that's why I think it's a joke. And one of my coworkers the other day, I said something about Fred Thompson for president, and I said, I have no clue how I'm voting for president right now. No clue at all. And I said, you know, I've always liked Fred Thompson. And she said, wasn't he an actor? I said, well, aren't they all? I mean, in their own way. Aren't they all actors? I mean, they put on these – I mean, do you really think they're all really like that when they're home with their dog
and
their kids?
Do you think any of them are?
Any of – both sides. I'm including all sides.
No, I'm saying, like, do you – I mean, literally, do you think that there's any one – politician that has ever been successful that was not? That's what I mean. I don't mean political. I'm asking, like, do you think that there's even one person? Can you name one person that you think was probably actually like that at all?
I will bet, and I probably know, I couldn't name one off the top of my head right now at all, but I bet there are politicians out there that are genuinely
Well, we forget about the person who is the father of conservatism, who is Ronald Reagan. He's probably the only one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Joe Lieberman's a pretty honest guy, you know, all around, straight up.
You know, that's weird that you would say that. I kind of think that he's probably the only person. When I asked the question, I couldn't think of anybody. But I got to agree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
He
came to mind.
If there is a person, who's going to kind of be, like, straightforward with what they are, and he could just be one of the best actors, and maybe that's the reason why we think
actually,
that.
Actually, he stuck to his guns so well, his own party defected and left him hanging out in the wind to drive.
Which is what makes me think that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the easy thing would have been to do to just retract it and go with what they were saying, but he did not.
Right.
Yeah, it's frustrating because who do you vote for? And you vote even really counting anymore, and that's something that people need to think about. And maybe, you know, there's Kerry Carter is kind of a blogger friend of ours. It's so obvious at blogs. It's so obvious .blogspot.com. He's
thinking of the O word.
Thinking of the O word. This guy is, you know, he's just Joe American, you know, a nice guy, and he's running obviously as a conservative. But we had him on the show once when we were talking about it, and he goes, you know, maybe it's time for people to stop looking at these dynasties and these, you know, like the Hillary Clintons and the Bushes and the, you know, these people just because they went to Yale and they just because they went, I mean, how many of them got into Yale because, or Harvard or whatever, because mommy and daddy helped them? And they're so out of touch with reality. I mean, like this Democratic debate the other day, they all took private chartered jets, and you know, I'd like to see a campaign where the dude's like driving a dune buggy, you know.
Well, but even that's a shtick because what's his name did that? The billionaire? Oh my God, how's his name slipping my mind?
Ross Perot.
Yeah, Ross Perot did that, and we all know that was an act. He rented. He probably had to go out of his way to find a regular car.
No, but one has got like a Toyota like in his garage, you know, and he drives his Toyota there. And
Mike Huckabee would probably rank pretty close to that, former governor of Arkansas. He just pitched his hat in, and I heard Huckabee on a couple of programs. I've looked at a couple of the sites where, you know, they talk about him, and he's sharp. He's right on the money in my book, and he seems real.
Yeah.
But the problem is you get these real guys, and they don't have the momentum.
Well, they don't have the money, and that's what it's about.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
If they could pass a law that says basically you can spend $100 on your flipping campaign, that's it. The rest of it's got to be word of mouth or your supporters getting you out there. I mean, literally, take the billions of dollars. I mean, they're so concerned about the environment. Like the millions and billions of dollars you're spending on campaigning, why don't you put that back in the environment? You know, I mean, do something good with the money. You know, send it to Darfur.
I wonder how many carbon credits those guys had to buy to fly those planes into South Carolina.
Hey, that's how I built Political Pistachio. I ain't out there advertising.
Well, exactly. Well, now, but it was word of mouth. You know, I advertised on this show, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, more people, you already had a following. But, I mean, you know, it's the same thing. Right now, it's not an even playing field. It's
because when you're speaking the truth, regardless if someone agrees with it or not, they're going to gravitate towards you.
Well,
and that's why people gravitated to Reagan.
Who's speaking the truth these days? I mean, Reagan, you know, God rest his soul, you know, he's passed away and he's gone, and there just doesn't seem on either side an equivalent of anything, and I'm frankly tired of it. I mean, I've got, like, presidential candidate whiplash.
What's unfortunate, see, is back then we were able to vote for the best candidate. Now we have to vote for the evils.
Yeah, who they're telling us is the best candidate. This is the one that had the most. It's basically you're voting for. It's like prom king and queen. You know, whoever has the most money, kind of thing. Like who's the most popular, who has the most money, not what they're going to bring to the presidency. And we are at war right now. And
hey, enough politics. I want to talk American Idol here.
Oh,
I know we're getting so deep. God forbid we talk about
politics for the week.
It's so funny because I look forward to coming to call to your show for this politics thing.
No, I want to talk about this Digital Edge Idol radio show that's so popular on Blog Talk Radio. I want to get some info here.
Who knows if it's really popular? You never know.
Well, it's always up there.
Okay.
I know it's up there. You got like 8,000 callers.
You got 8,000 gazillion callers.
I give up. I try calling in, and it's like I'm on there for like 15 minutes.
Are you serious, Dad? That's so funny.
I'm doing my nails. I'm doing my hair. Got my hair done. Got my nails done.
Sometimes we do have a nice amount of calls, and sometimes we have none. So you just never know.
No one got sent home this week, and that was a shocker, I guess.
No one got sent home this week. This is an American Idol version of what we just got done talking about. It was ridiculous. They went and they did this, and most of us knew that they were probably going to pull that crap where nobody went home. I mean, of course, this is very, very not major in comparison to what's going on in the world, but just to save a good face and to show a good, kind heart and to get everybody to buy into this corporate thing that they're doing, they would say that we're going to be nice and not send anybody home. But in order to keep on track with the corporate schedule that they have, they're sending two people home this week, so it doesn't even really matter.
All right, so who's going home? Who's going home? Who's your pick?
I believe it's going to be Chris and Lakeisha.
Aha.
Now, I think that charity thing that they did, that was Doug hanging up, by the way, that clip.
Okay, I was like, whoa.
Not my fault.
Yeah, I'm thinking like, is that me?
No, that was Doug hanging up. I've never heard it that loud before when someone left the phone.
Sorry, Doug, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you for the compliment, Doug.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Good for calling in, Doug.
But now, I just need to get away from politics every once in a while. That's the other reason I enjoy you calling. But what this charity thing that they did, and I guess they raised almost $60 million for it now.
Yeah, I didn't hear
that. I mean, that is a good thing that a show like that, the popularity of a show, and it shows.
Did you just say $60 million?
Well, I heard they raised $30 million initially, but then there were so many leftover pledges that weren't counted. And
yeah, and they were taking pledges off of every call that came in, and they had 125 million votes.
Right, and so it was. They think the total's up around $60 million, and it might even go higher than that for all I know. But I thought,
yeah, that's a great. I mean, I'm not against the idea. It's just, you know, it's like when Hillary talked about health care for everybody. Who's against that? You know what I'm saying? Like, hate to keep throwing it back to politics, but who doesn't want every American to have health care? But there was a different motive behind it. Nobody's against, or at least I'm not against, what they were doing, and I hope all of the money goes to where they're said it's going to go to, and I have no reason to think that it's not. That's absolutely wonderful what they did. They had the bully pulpit in order to do it. That's great.
Okay, so obviously I need to get on American Idol because I've only got $377 in pledges collected.
Yeah, get on there and just be like everybody else. Like, you have all of these celebrities now that are going on Idol just because it's watched by 30 to 60 million people. And if they go on Idol, their CD goes into the top 10 that week. Sometimes.
Okay, now, wait a minute, Daryl. You got an in at American Idol, right? They love you there?
Oh, please, no.
No, probably not.
Jenna the Jungle on American Idol next week, raising money for the San Diego Humane Society.
Don't use my name, or you'll never get anywhere near that show. As a warning.
Now, they've never contacted you, have they?
No, they've never contacted me. It's just that there's no way that they would like a show like mine, because even though it's called, you know, we're talking about Idol, we're not talking about it from that slant of loving Idol. In fact, many of the guests that we have on have absolutely slammed them.
Yeah. Nice, rip it big time.
Yeah.
I think American Idol is absolutely amazing to me. I mean, it's kind of like the reality show things, how they started, and I guess in a way this is a reality show, but it's changed the world. I mean, what? How many millions of people watch that show every week?
Well, on a low night, it's 30 million.
Yeah, on a low night.
Yeah.
Well, they should be picking up because they're getting to the finals now. I'm sure the ratings in the May here will.
Well, yeah, and like towards the end, when it's the last couple of weeks, they say like between 60 and 70 million.
Well, and just let me tell you, you have to look at the digital edge. Be very careful when you're clicking on this. You have to look at the digital edge. Daryl from Digital Edge, American Idol show. The other one sucks. It's peanuts. It's BS. They have no clue of what they're doing. You have to listen to Daryl's Digital Edge Idol show because that is actually the quality one.
Wow. I listen to the other show all the time. It's hysterical to me. I can't not listen.
Okay, here's the deal. You listen to the other one. If you listen to the other one, it's like getting your news out of the bottom of a lake. Okay?
They're up there in that number one spot right now.
Well, I don't care. It's
but are they really?
It's erroneous ratings. They're faking it. You know, it's just.
They get their links all over the place, and they have their thing on like so many different sites, so that when people go there, it automatically plays.
Oh, is that a bad thing?
No, but it's not. But when you have it just on a bunch of different sites and on every single page, and people are coming there for other reasons,
right, it actually
makes the appearance that more people are listening than they actually are.
Well, that's very true, and that's very true. But we're out of time tonight. I'll end with a little bit of music. Jen, I will speak to you later this week.
I'm sure you will. And Daryl, as always, a pleasure to have you call in.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you.